Chapter 4, we've been looking at this. I thought we'd get through this in about 5 weeks. Well, we're not making it on that. So we've had quite a few messages. If you've missed some, I encourage you to go to communitydoor.org and click on our free downloads, and you can get MP3 copies of all the services for a little over a year, but all these messages. And they've been good. There's just a lot of things in the letter, in John's first letter to the churches. So we're going to start, we're in chapter 4 now, and I'm going to just dwell, we started this last week, I want to dwell again on verses 1 through 6. He says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Now last week we got into one section of this, and I didn't have time to get into the final section of this, so I want to review quickly and get into the final session. He says, "Do not believe every spirit." Now, John, 1 John 3:3 says, "Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." This hope is the hope of Jesus, the hope of Christ in us, the hope of glory, the desire that Jesus has come in the flesh, has manifested himself, has revealed himself. And he says, if you have this hope that we are being conformed into the image of Christ, that hope in you will cause you to work at self-purification. In other words, getting rid of all the things that are not of God. This is an integral, ongoing work if we really believe that Jesus Christ is the flesh. And this is crucial to understand the letter of 1 John. John is not talking about love. He's talking about self-purification. He's talking about being made whole, being made one with God and in the church with one another, that we can walk this life that God has for us. Now, John lived in a world where everything was accepted. Paul talks about this in Athens. He was in Athens, and he was getting ready to minister, and he's walking through the city, and he sees idols everywhere. Every corner had an idol, kind of like America has a church on every corner today. You know, we're just filled, our cities are filled with churches that no one attends. Hello. Well, they had idols that nobody worshiped. They had idols set up, and they brought their food and they brought their stuff in, and they had temples of idols, and a lot of them literally were temples of prostitution, because you'd go in and have sex and that'd be your worship to God. What a religion. I mean, man, I bet they, when they threw a fest, everybody came. You know, don't bring anything except your condoms. We're just going to have a good time here in the house tonight. He's like, whoa, wait, what kind of a world is that? But see, this is what he was grew up in. And this is the type of the world that existed at that time. Anything went. Everything was acceptable. The concept of sin had really not even entered into the world. And Jesus came preaching, and Paul came preaching. And when Paul's in Athens, he sees this altar to the unknown God, because Rome was afraid they'd miss one. You know, if there's any other out there, we don't want to offend them, so we'll have this altar to the unknown God. And so, just to say this, it doesn't take faith to accept anything or everything. People say, well, you know, I believe in the God, and he's the God of the world, and everybody really worships the one God, even if they don't know it. No, they don't. Again, he says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Now, in 1 John 4:2, he says, "You," and this is a shock, he says, "You know the Spirit of God." Now, there's a distinction between those who know the Spirit of God and those who do not know the Spirit of God. And the distinction, I don't have a whole lot of time, the distinction is that Jesus has come in the flesh or he hasn't. Of either Jesus is the Christ or he ain't. Amen? This is the distinction. Either God is who the God of the Bible is who he says he is, or he isn't. And if he isn't, anything goes, because it's open to a potluck supper. We're going to have a religious meeting. There was a terrorist that I heard on the news this morning. They just brought him from England over to the United States. We've spent 8 years extraditing this guy. And you know what they called him? A preacher. Now, in my mind, a preacher, I connect with the Church of Jesus Christ. You know, the gospel, Christians. We have preachers. This man was not a preacher. He is an imam. He's a Muslim. So, but this is part of this inclusive cover. We all worship the same God. So they're all preachers. No, to be politically correct, if he's an imam, don't desecrate Islam and call him a preacher. Just saying. You know, call them what they call them. Honor their faith, honor their religion by calling them what they call, so we know who you're talking about. But we don't know, you know, just a preacher. And I'm thinking, we've been after a terrorist preacher for 8 years to get him out of England? No, this is imam, Muslim, not Christian. So you've got to really test every spirit, because there are false prophets going out sending false messages. So we don't know what we believe. We don't know who they are. The Fort Hood shooter was a domestic violence situation, or I'm sorry, a workplace violence situation. This administration has yet to call him a terrorist, although he's been connected with many of them. So you see this spirit of the world. Everything goes, everything's alike. There's no distinction, there's no difference. And Paul and the early church came in preaching, guys, there's sin. Sin is not acknowledging Jesus Christ as the Messiah. That is the sin. We've spent some time on that. But he says here, you know the Spirit of God. Now go with me to 1 Corinthians 12. I've got a lot of scripture and a little bit of time, so I'm going to try to go fast. Everybody say praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Paul writes, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to those dumb idols, however you were led." There's all kinds of dumb things in the world. Amen? He says, yeah, in your former days, you just went with the flow. You'd worship to gods that don't talk. You worship to gods you cut out with your own hands. You make them in your image, and you fall down and worship. And say, that's really stupid to do, because they're not the creator. Hindu does not worship a god who created anything. They worship over 3 million gods, and they don't know who created, because the creator is somebody else way out there. Confucius, who knows what they believe? You know, Islam, they believe in a creator God who is so holy, if he touches humanity, he becomes impure. Aren't you glad we have a God who created life, sent a son to dwell in the flesh? See, this is why Islam denies that God was in Jesus in the flesh, because their Allah cannot do that. We have a God. Oh, I said this last week, but I've got to spend time on this. Our God is so great, so wonderful, so powerful, that he can take on flesh in the world and not get contaminated. Instead, he cleanses us. Hallelujah. The woman with going after Jesus, she touched the hem of his garment and virtue flowed out. That's our kind of God. He says, come and touch me. All who come unto me, I will not cast you out. Allah says, don't come too close, because I could be defiled. We could cause Allah to not be God if he would come into contact with humanity. Wow, that's a God I want to serve. No, it's not, because he has no power. If you can contaminate God and pull God off of his throne by touching him, how could you ever be seated in heavenly places with him? The moment you got up there, he'd have to fall off his throne. Aren't you glad we have a God that touches us and makes us whole instead of making him dirty? Ooh. And that is an awesome, awesome thing to meditate on. But here we go in 1 Corinthians 12, 3. It says, therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, this isn't just saying, oh, Jesus is Lord, you know, that's not, this is, you cannot live your life with Jesus as Lord and not be born again. Now, we've talked about in 1 John that sin is lawlessness, or sin is refusing the authority of Jesus Christ. That's what sin is in a nutshell. And that resistance to the authority of Jesus is what causes you to do all the other dumb things that we label as sin. That's just a result of the initial sin of not being under the authority of Jesus Christ. Because if you're under his authority, you can't sin. You can't. So, yeah, but I sinned the other day. You can't sin. Why? Because the blood continually washes you free of sin. Now, you don't continue in that. That's why we purge ourselves. That's why we get rid of those things, because we don't want to live that way, because that's just dumb if God saved you and redeemed you. You know, if you're healed, how do I say? I had a weird aunt. Praise God, I had two aunts, but this one was weird. And she would go to the doctor, and they'd give her medication to take for the things she dealt with. And when she felt better, she quit taking the medication. Of course, that usually made the thing last a couple weeks longer, but she felt better. So as soon as she felt better, she got rid of the medication, and she would save it. And when we cleaned out the house, had an old hutch there, and it was full of outdated medication. I mean 10, 20, 25 years of medication that needed to be thrown out, that was in powder in some of the jars, but she was holding it just in case she needed it. You know, there's a lot of people, we go to the doctor and we get the prescription, and when we think we're over it, we don't take it anymore. We do that with God. God gives us the answer, we start feeling a little better, whatever. I won't take it. I'm refusing the authority of God. I'm refusing his prescription for my life. And you get sick again. But now see, if you follow the prescription, and when it's completed, you're healed. That's what God's grace does for us. It delivers us from the power of sin. Now, I hope you're not like my crazy aunt. But it says here, if you say Jesus is Lord, then you're of God. And we need to understand that. Go to Matthew chapter 10. Just a real quick one again. Matthew chapter 10, beginning verse 32. Jesus said, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." Now think about the confession, Jesus is Lord. If you don't believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, you won't say that in front of people. If you're not under his authority, you won't say it. Now, 33, whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Jesus is saying, if you deny me, I'll deny you. Wow. And yet John is addressing some people who said Jesus isn't really the Christ. God didn't really come in the flesh. And Jesus is saying, in Matthew, not just in John, but in Matthew, Jesus is saying, hey, I'll deny those people because they denied me. Now, go on to verse 34. Well, no, let me just stop there. I'll just stop there. I was going to read some more, but we'll just stop there. In 1 John 4:4-6, again, it says, you are of God, little children. It says, you're not of the natural world. You're not of these things. You're not of the people who deny God. He says, you know God. He's talking to his initial audience here. He says, you know God, or you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Now, we shared last week that this is about separation. John has joined the separation. You are of God. They are not. They went out from us in chapter 2. They did all these things. They left. And he says, but you're not of that. He says, you're of God and they are of the world. There's this order of separation that John is trying to get people to understand. In Matthew 5, it says, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And then Jesus went on to say, you are the salt of the earth, the light of the world, a city or a church. I believe the city is the church. A city set on a hill. Now, when you're persecuted, we often wonder why. Why are they coming against me? I'm trying to be a nice person. I'm trying to do the right thing, and I still get persecuted. You can see that in the United States today. There's organizations are suing to take down all crosses in military graveyards or in public cemeteries because it offends their faith because it speaks of Christianity. Well, there's a lot of people put a cross in their grave that they're not Christian. They don't believe in God, but it's become a sign of respect and of honor to those that are dead in the Western civilization. For Jews, we put the Star of David. You know, we try to honor that person's background by putting that on, but there might be Jews buried that are Christians, so it would be a desecration to put a Star of David up there and not identify them as Christian. You know, you can look at this from all kinds of different ways, but the problem is when there's persecution that comes, we try to find a rational excuse for why we're going through it. And the explanation is very simple. You are not of this world. You are of Christ. And when that becomes public knowledge, you become persecuted. People don't like it. You're bringing light into the darkness. And people in the darkness, they don't like the light. They like to hide. They like to do things that other people don't know about. They like to boast and brag about those things. They like to do things that they don't want anybody to know that they're doing. But light begins to expose those things. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus said, if they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? He just said in John 4, 2, in John chapter 4, it talks about how we are children of God. You're of his household. If you're a child of God, you're of his household. And Jesus says, why do you think this odd if they call me the devil and not those in my household? In other words, Jesus didn't sin, did he? And they crucified him anyway. He did nothing wrong, but he still was crucified. People did not like Jesus, and yet he did nothing wrong his whole life. He never messed up. He never said the wrong thing at the wrong time. You know, he was always right on. And people hated him because he brought that exposure that they didn't like. He brought out the hidden things of their life. And sometimes people would accept that and be free. Other times people would reject it and be lost. But it was all on how they responded to Jesus. It wasn't Jesus himself. Now, 2 Timothy 3:12 says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Doesn't that help you? Will suffer persecution. If you're going to live godly, if you're going to try to live like Christ, you will suffer persecution. Thank you for that promise. You know, this is not one you find in your promise box too often. Now, back to Matthew 10:26, when he talks about persecution, at the end of it, Jesus says, therefore, do not fear them. Don't fear the people who are persecuting you. Now, this gets to what I really want to get into today. Do not fear those who are persecuting you. In 1 John 4:4, he says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Who's them? Them that persecute you. Them that don't like you. Them that just love darkness rather than light. Those who hidden. And he says, you have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Now, to overcome here is an almost legal term. It means victory. That's how we usually interpret or understand the concept of overcoming. But it means to overcome in a legal sense of a courtroom. And so what he's saying is, when all these people bring accusations against you, you've overcome them in the court of God. God will not hold you accountable for the condemnation that comes from the world because you're the salt. You're the light. And as long as you operate under the authority of Jesus Christ, the world will come against you. But don't worry about it, Jesus is saying. Don't worry about it, is what John is saying. Because you've already overcome them. You sit in a whole different court of law. What the world condemns, God justifies. What the world is upset about, God says this is good. You know, the Bible says in the end times, people will call good evil and evil good. But God calls good good and evil evil. And people don't like that because they like to blur the lines as much as possible so they don't have to be held accountable for anything Therefore, you go back to my early years when the famous saying was, well, the devil made me do it. Yeah, but you didn't have to get in the car to start with, did you? You know, you didn't have to go along with the walk or the drive. You didn't have to do what the devil whispered in your ear. But we can't use that excuse anymore because we are people of free will. We have a choice. And the Old Testament says, I set before you this day life and death, therefore choose life that you may live. It's an open book test. God gives you the answer. And if you don't pick the answer, you can't blame God. And you can't blame the devil because it's your choice that you're making. Amen? Okay. Romans 3:4 says, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that you, meaning God, that God may be justified in his words and may overcome when God is judged. In other words, when the world brings a railing accusation about God, God's right. When the world doesn't like Scripture, God's right. When the world doesn't like how God conducts things, oh, how could a loving God ever send anybody to hell? God's right. Because God didn't send you to hell. You chose it. You chose it on your own. It's not God's fault you're going there. He sent his son to save you from going there. So don't blame God if you reject the salvation. You know, if I want to take a train trip to Seattle and I don't show up till 2 hours after the train's taken off, I can't blame the rail lines because I'm not on the train. I have to look at myself. I chose to show up late. I chose to not follow the schedule that they gave for me, so it's my fault that I'm not on the train going to Seattle. And that's how God is too. He shows us the way. Now let me show you how God is faithful. God promised David that Christ would come from his seed. And when David sinned, when he fell out from under the authority of God, and he bedded Bathsheba, and when he proved himself to be a weak man and a sinful man, God still showed himself to be true because Christ still came from his lineage. Isn't that awesome? When David had a man murdered, God's word was still faithful. He was still true, even though David was false, even though David goofed up. Now, David got it right later on, but if God would have rejected David at that time, God's word would have been nullified. See, God's word endures forever. Amen. See, God shows himself to be true and faithful to every word of his promise. And when we base our life on the word of God, let me just put it this way. When we base our life that Jesus is the Christ, because that's the context I want to talk about. When we base our life that Jesus is the Christ, he is the Messiah, he is the deliverer, he is my forgiver, he is my healer, when I begin to base my life on that, regardless of what I do, doesn't change who God is. Even if I'm in sin, God's still my healer. Even though I mess up, God's still my deliverer. See, it doesn't change him. And so we come to this point where we think all these things separate us from God. They don't. See, I can be in sin and still believe God in an area of my life, and God will perform in that area that I'm willing to believe in. I can reject all the other things, but the area I choose to believe God, he'll still bless me in that. Why? Because he's faithful to his word. He is faithful. I may not be, but he is. You know, it always bugs me when preachers fall for a variety of reasons, but one of the things I don't like, it when preachers fall, churches go, oh my goodness, everything that he preached must have been wrong. Do you know you can preach 100% accuracy and still miss it? Still goof up? I mean, just think about it this way. You're always right, and you goof up, but you're still right. Some of you pick up on that later. But we always think we're right, don't we? Even when we goof up, we still think we're right. Well, God is right. And when I goof up, it doesn't change who God is. It just means I missed it. I fell. I goofed up somehow. Somewhere along the way, something wasn't right. I got discouraged. I got disappointed. But it doesn't change who God is. God is faithful to his word. God has already judged you in Jesus Christ to be sin free. God has already judged you by Jesus hanging on the cross to be healed. He's already judged you to be righteous before God. So I don't feel righteous. I'm not living too righteous. It doesn't matter. God has judged you to be righteous. That's why you find so many people, they believe when they die they're going to go to heaven, and they're living like hell on earth. Because at least they're believing God enough to know that when they die, they'll go to heaven. They just don't believe God enough or know enough to trust that God will provide for them here. That God will be with you now in this life. He was an ever-present help in time of trouble. Amen. If we come to Him, He will in no wise cast us out. He will always accept us. Because why, God's in the saving business. He's got a merciful heart. He wants to help you if you'll let Him. If you stop resisting Him, God will come in and help you out. But see, this is where the sin is, the rejection of Jesus. It isn't what you do, because I can turn from the sin at any time in my life and receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, and I'm born again, I'm free, I'm healed. Do you know that Jesus never healed anybody who was born again? Everyone Jesus healed was lost. Every single one of them. Because you couldn't get born again until after the day of Pentecost. We don't think about it. Well, will my sin keep me from getting healed? No, not if you trust God. Isn't God good? See, He is faithful to His word. He said all of our sins, all of our sicknesses were carried on the cross with Jesus. All your griefs, all your suffering, all your mental anguish, all your fears was carried on the cross with Jesus. That's why God says don't fear. Why? He took it. He took it. You don't have to worry. You don't have to live in fear. You don't have to live in the fear of rejection. You don't have to live in the fear of persecution. You don't have to live in the fear of that, because Jesus has already carried all that fear away. But I've got to change the way I think and have faith that Jesus has carried that. And no matter what happens, He's still the Savior. He's still the Deliverer. He's still the Healer. It doesn't change who God is. It doesn't change what God has done. Therefore, John says, you know, whoever says that Jesus did not come in the flesh, he's not of God. He's not of God. He's denying Jesus. He's denying who God is. He's denying the character of God as Savior, as Helper. He's denying who God is. Let's go down to, oh man, there's so much. In 1 John 4, he says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Here's some understanding. We overcome God, or we overcome the world, because we have the greater one in us. If you go to 1 John 2:14, go to 2:13, because this is cool. 1 John 2:13, he says, "I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you," now listen, "I write to you, young men, because you have overcome," same word, overcome, "you have overcome the wicked one." He says in verse 14, down the middle, "I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one." Now, how do we overcome? Here it says we overcome by the word of God. These young men they were filled with the word of God on the inside. They had renewed their mind to the word of God. They were beginning to think like God thinks, and he said, "You overcame the world. You overcome it." Because you're sitting in a different seat of judgment. You're sitting in the judgment of God, and God has judged you to be innocent. But you don't know that without the Word of God. You don't know that without the Scriptures. If you go to 4:4 that we just read, we've overcome because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. We overcome because Christ is in us. We are in Christ. He is in us. We overcome because of that. If you go to 1 John 5, verses 4 and 5, it says, I love this one, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" And that's part of the issue that John's dealing with in here. Is believing Jesus is the Son of God or he isn't. Either God came and took on flesh or he didn't. That is the issue. And he says, how do we overcome? Well, we overcome because the Word of God abides in us. We overcome because the greater one lives in us. We overcome because of our faith. our faith in the resurrected Christ, our faith that God has come in the flesh, our faith causes us to overcome. Isn't that good news? Now, he doesn't say, boy, your sin really blocks the way. No, he says, your faith overcomes. Why? Because God's grace is greater than your sin. His mercy is greater than the condition that you're in. And when you begin to understand that, then how can I be lost if I'm found? How can sin keep me out because God's grace is stronger than my sin? How can my misstep reject me from the will of God when God is greater than my sin? See, when you begin to step under the authority of God, we mess up, but we instantly want to repent. We want to get it right because that's self-judgment, that self-cleansing that is at work within us. Now, when you don't care, you're in trouble. Because when you don't care, you're basically telling God, I don't believe you're big enough to help me in my situation. That is not being under the authority of Jesus Christ. That's being under the authority of the natural world, which says there's nothing anybody can do for you. We serve a good God. Oh, man, do you want to live in the world, the natural world, or live under the shadow of God? I want to be in the shadow of God. Because there is no hopeless situation. There is no person that is so far down that God cannot save, cannot intervene, cannot touch. There's no one that God would reject. Somebody said, well, would God save Hitler? If he would have called out, yes. How could he do it? Look at all that Hitler did. Well, I believe God could have saved Lenin. I believe he could have saved Marx. I believe God can save a lot of people today. But the issue is, will they cry out to him or not? That's the point. Will they submit themselves to Jesus and let the greater one rule in them? Amen? Now, in John chapter 16:33, it says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Again, the world may judge you, but in Jesus Christ you have overcome the world. It doesn't matter what they say. Now, let me just go real quick, because Jesus says that the ruler of this world is judged. He's already judged. He said that in John 16. The ruler of this world is judged already. And God says, you have no power to judge. You have no power to hold my people in sin. Now, a believer is forgiven and cleansed of all sin and all unrighteousness. A believer. Why? Because I'm believing in Jesus as Savior. I don't know about you. He's my Savior. I was telling Debbie this the other day. Isn't it amazing the views that people have about God? And all you have to do to get a right theology, listen to the names of God. We don't call God the destroyer. We don't call God, he's the one that's going to get you when you mess up. There's no name in the Bible like that for God. Who is God? Who is Jesus? Savior, deliverer, comforter. This is who Jesus is. This is, if you want right theology, who do they call the destroyer? Apollyon. The devil. So why do we want to credit God for what the devil's up to? See, we've got, in the end times, people will call good evil and evil good. And if you start preaching, God will save you out of every situation in life. Oh, brother, I just don't believe that. You're just getting over the edge there. Well, isn't that what Savior means? Isn't that what deliver means? When God brought Israel out of Egypt, there was not a sick one among them. He healed them before he got them all out. You know, they show that, if you've ever seen the movie Exodus, you know, with Charlton Heston, they show these people and they're carrying other people that are sick in beds. Didn't happen that way. I'm sorry, Hollywood's wrong. Bible says they all left whole, complete. Not one blind person, not one person had a limp. They were all healed when God brought them out of Egypt. Hallelujah. What's your salvation like? Well, we're just making it along the best we can. No, 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 no. That's not our God. When you got saved, everything you needed is found in God. His grace is greater than anything you have done to mess it up. He's our Savior. He either is or isn't. He's our deliverer. He either is or he isn't. Are you getting this? This is what John is trying to get across. He who doesn't believe that Jesus has come in the flesh is not of God. If Jesus didn't come in the flesh, he's not your deliverer. He's not your savior. He can't be, because there was no sacrifice to offer. There was nothing that God gave up for you. There is no blood to cleanse you of sin. There is no avenue of forgiveness, so you are still in your sins, you ugly old thing. And there's nothing anybody can do for you. So get used to it. Suck it up. Aren't you glad God didn't say that? Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Come unto me, come unto me, come unto me. He says that all the time through Scripture. The woman with the lost coin, the man with the lost sheep. This is the image of God. He seeks and finds those who are lost. He heals the sick. He opens blind eyes. He makes the crippled to walk. This is who our God is. This is who he is. And John's trying to get us to understand, this is the God that has caused you to overcome the world. Of all the things that the world brings against you, all the railing accusations, Jesus has set us free from that. He's a good God. 1 John 4:6, he says, we are of God. Now you're beginning to understand who he's talking to. We are of God. We believe Jesus is the Savior. We believe he is the Messiah. We believe he is the Deliverer. We believe Jesus came in the flesh and died and was raised from the dead for us. We believe these things. So he says, we are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We know. This is easy to discern. This is easy to understand. And people make it so difficult. Here's the spiritual discernment. Here's how you can find out if someone is abiding in righteousness or sin, whether he's abiding in truth or in error. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not. Hears us? What does that mean? Does that mean that, Gordon, are you telling me that as a preacher, that we, if we hear and accept everything you say, then we are of God? But if we reject any little bit of anything you say, that we're not of God? I didn't say that. Now, that's how it's been interpreted by a lot of people. Because I have the truth, and you need to learn what. No, what is he talking about here? What's the essential context of what he's talking about? Jesus Christ came in the flesh. He who is of God hears that we are preaching that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, that he is the Savior, he is a deliverer. And if you reject that, if you reject that Jesus did not come in the flesh, you're not of God. Isn't that simple? Isn't that easy? It's not complicated. You don't have to have a college degree to figure this out. This is simple, plain talk. He said, this is discernment. Do you believe Jesus came in the flesh? Well, brother, there's lots of opinions about it. I don't care about opinions. What do you think? Do you believe Jesus came in the flesh? If you did, then you are of God. Oh, but I haven't been in church much of my life. Doesn't matter. It didn't say he who is of God attends church every Sunday. Did it? He who hears us and accepts, and this is my application of it, he who hears us preach about Jesus Christ coming in the flesh and believes that is of God. And we have overcome the world, because greater is he, the Savior, the Deliverer who lives in us, than the Condemner who abides in the world. This is what John's saying. This is, he's saying, get some discernment about this thing. I got to do this. I know I'm a little bit over. 1 Corinthians 2. I want to get to this. We're almost done. 1 Corinthians 2, starting in verse 12, Paul writes, see, the Bible agrees with itself. And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 2:12, he says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God. Isn't that just another way of saying we are of God? He says, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him. God came in the flesh. Ha, ha, ha. That's foolish. God walked on the earth in a man. Oh, who could believe such a thing? See, these are foolish. The world just cannot grasp this. That's why they say, well, everybody worships the same God. No, we don't. I mean, that is denying every religion on the earth to say that we're all exactly alike. If we're all alike, how come religious people have been killing religious people for thousands of years? We don't all believe the same thing. He says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For he who has known the mind of the Lord, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. See, when you declare Jesus came in the flesh, when you declare that Jesus is the Messiah, the Deliverer, the Savior, you are declaring things that this world cannot understand. How could one man save the whole world from sin? How can one man cleanse every person's heart? How can one man do all this? Because that one man was God. That one man offered up the sinless, the perfect sacrifice that you and I might be made whole. Amen. Let's stand up. This is the gospel. This is what I preach to you. This is the gospel of Christ. He came in the flesh. He came to set you free. Therefore, we name him Savior, Messiah, Deliverer, King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. That every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. You can do it now. You can do it later. You can do it now by free choice. Hallelujah. And be of God. Or you can wait till it's too late and you'll still be in hell, but you'll still bow your knee and you'll still confess. But the choice is yours. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Lord, if there's anyone here that does not know you, if they don't have that assurance